today the speaker wasn't able to make it because he was hospitalized. All right, so we were all being mobilized. But that's in part and parcel of life, actually. All right. Today, even as we revisit the Great Commission, all right, I thought it was also a very aptly topic, even this afternoon when we want to have that film that being shared. No, just a good recap on actually who we are, actually, you know, as Christians, all right? Basically, I have this focus on the world, all right? Because I think as Christians, we tend to look just within our own circle or boundary, all right? I believe in all your walks in life, you would have been challenged whether you are a lawyer, a doctor, an administrator, a homemaker. Actually, what is your role here on earth? I'm not too sure whether have you ever asked your this question to yourself. What actually is your role on earth? Is your role on earth just to, you know, live, eat, grow up, get married, have family, get a stable job, you know, start a new family, and the whole cycle of procreation goes on and on? Or there's something else that we are here, all right? And I thought it was good to revisit some of this purpose that we have. So as the Great Commission, as we know of from Matthew 28:19, I think this is very familiar. It was one of the very first few verses that when I became a Christian, I was being taught. Alright? To therefore go and make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I think there are a few critical words here that perhaps this morning I'd like to challenge a rethink for ourselves. All right. First is the word go and make disciples. I think we are all very familiar. What do you mean by go and make disciples? Are we disciples ourselves? Yes or no? Are we disciples ourselves? Right. Disciples, the word comes from the root word, not in simply Latin word called pupil, student, you know, to learn. Right. So these are things that as we learn, then of course in Singapore today, lifelong learning. For me in the training profession, we are training people to learn, relearn, unlearn. All right, because of changes. And then we are supposed to baptize them. I think many of us may not have the opportunity to do that. But for me, in my role as elder of the churches, I had this role to play. Every time when a new believer wants to be baptized, from my previous church where we went to Sembawang Beach, right to my earlier church where we have swimming pools, right? We actually do these things, right, to baptize. But it's not a role that is especially for elders of the church or deacons of the church. Any one of us, actually, according to the Great Commission, is given that right, you know, and the authority to do this, all right? And then, of course, teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded, right? So these are the three or four key areas in our lives under the Great Commission, which this morning we want to look at, right? And the Great Commission, as I mentioned, is not restricted to Singapore. I deliberately put this picture. For those of you who are involved in mission works, this is called the 1040 windows. It started way back in 1989, right, where there's this movement of people wanting to re-evangelize the world again, because there were so many people out there that the church, it was a period we call the revival of churches in Singapore, where I attended this conference, and there was much talk about this. Right, so if you will look at this whole latitude, 10 degree off equator up to 40, which is what we call the Tropic of Cancer, if my geography get me right, or Capricorn, Tropic of Cancer. All right, this is the part where the most highest number of unbelievers in the world today. And if you look at it very closely, Cambodia, Bangladesh, India all fall inside here. And that is one of the reasons why, as a church today, we also want to keep that focus, right? That we do things not outside this, but where it really hits the ground. When the rubber hits the ground, then that's where we are. So for us today, we are very much into the domain of Hinduism and Buddhism, right? So when we went to Cambodia, a lot of Buddhists, right? When we went to India, Bangladesh, a lot of Hindus, right? Both are quite related if you read the historical background of Hinduism and Buddhism. Both are quite historically related in terms of faith and belief. And that's the reason why if you talk to a person of this faith, everything is the same. Right? Just like a week ago when my brother passed away, right? We had the debate whether to have Buddhism or Taoism rites. And the priest came up with a solution, have both lah. Plus, right? And when I asked my sister, do you all know what you are doing? They said they don't know lah, because the priest says so. All right. But I told them, you have to be very clear what you want to do, no? Because to the person who is doing that business, it is just a material thing. You want plus, and the bill came up to 20,000. That is the cost of ignorance, all right? After my brother passed away on funeral Tuesday evening, my sister, father-in-law passed away. So actually we had a long stretch this whole week. Again, same problem. The father of Buddhism, then they said they want to have a little bit element of Taoism because some brothers were Buddhists, some sisters were Taoists. So the family have a hybrid. So it was a hybrid funeral. Right? So again, these are the things that when men become ignorant, they just don't know what to do. And then as Christian, we have to be very firm in our foundation. We have to know our purpose and why we are here. So maybe just one Bible trivia. Who was the first missionary that God sent up? Anybody want to give a shot? I don't have like pastor, a $5 McDonald's voucher. Anybody want to try? Who was the first missionary that God sent out? Huh? First missionary that God sent out. We are talking about OT, new T. Anybody want to try? Yeah, actually, in most scholastic writing, they all tend to agree. Sorry, this. That the first missionary that God sent out was Abraham. All right, taken from Genesis 12, right, 1 to 5. Right, but I won't be reading out this whole thing. All right, I just want you to take note. Where this happened, it happens within the 1040 window. Is where today modern Iraq is. All right, Haran that he went to is where today modern Turkey is. All right, and then down to Canaan is where today modern Israel. All right, and then he went to Egypt. So that is that big journey that Abraham took. And when God called him out of Ur, he was 75 years old at that point of time. All right, but God has called him very much earlier. Just that this guy was taking his own sweet time to go. All right, and so by the time the commission was done on his part, right? Yes, he completed the journey, but there were two key words here which are highlighted in red that I want you to take note. The first key word is when God called him, he went. He don't argue. He don't say, I cannot this, I cannot that. I'm actually 75 years old, no? I got a lot of rheumatic problem and everything, My bones are aching and everything, all right? And the second thing is, wherever he go, Abraham built an altar to the Lord. You know, it's an altar, right? An altar in the Old Testament is a point of giving praise and a point of communication with God. And that's the reason why in today's religious faith, you find that in most religion, this altar thing becomes very important. Be it a small plate, be it just a small urn with a few joystick and a piece of paper, that's an altar. That's a communication channel between the physical world and the spiritual world. So this idea is not new, all right? Which later I would like to elaborate this point from the Christian standpoint. Okay, the second question, a bit tricky, yeah? Who was the first missionary that Jesus sent out? Notice I use the word God. Now we move to the New Testament. Who was the first missionary that Jesus sent out? Anybody want to try? Huh? No, not John the Baptist. Huh? Not Paul either. A bit tough, this one. Right? The first missionary that Jesus sent out can be found in Mark chapter 5. It was a madman whom he healed, and he told him, go and preach and share what I've done for you. And so he went to where? To the Decapolis. You know what's the meaning of Decapolis? 10 states. Right, the province of the area around the promised land. Right, so that was the second instant in the New Testament where God sent. Right. So I'm giving you these two examples just to reiterate a point later. Okay, so if you keep in focus these two, that when God first sent out the first missionary, a man very senior in age, you know, and went forth. In the New Testament, when Jesus sent out a man that is of no capabilities, not even at a cognitive level, or we call the mental level, at a physical level, or anything, just like Abraham, right? No special training that he went through or anything. The key words here is, so the man went. Like Abraham, so he went. So I think in the calling of into missions, and whether the next question I will ask you, are you a missionary? Are we missionaries? That's a question I think this morning at the end I would like to challenge all to answer that question. Right? So you find that in the whole realms of moving into mission and the way God works, right? The common in the two were they were obedience. Never question God too much. Right? They were submissive. Right? Just do it. Nike Maxim. Just do it. No need to ask too much question. Alright? Thirdly, there was an element of faith. Right? No question asked, total dependence. Right? You know, right? When Moses asked a bit too much, what happened? He was deprived. Right? And then, if you read towards the end of the passages, for every instant that they went, God's hovering power and protection was with them. Right? So these are just the four key points that in missions, if we consider ourselves missionary and we want to go into mission, I think very basic criteria, only four. Nothing about whether am I trained in certain or whether do I have certain skills. The skills, the knowledge, all that we have are talents that God gave to us. And we believe that in each of the two men, they too have talents. Just that perhaps their gifts and talents were never revealed at a point of engagement. So, to relook at the Great Commission, all right, one thing is, the Christian faith actually equals to a missionary faith, if you look very, very clearly at it. Because that is what we are all taught to do today, right? We are all taught to make disciples, read the word, teach the word, to baptize people, right? And to spread the word. So the mission, if you go to a very fundamental level, the Christian faith is actually a missionary faith. And actually, the question to ask is, are we all missionary? The answer actually is yes. We are all missionaries. Right? Just that perhaps the role are not defined at this point. Right? So, bottom line is all followers of Christ are actually missionaries. Okay. And God's purpose, as stated in the Great Commission, right, even to the ends of the earth, His purpose is not only to bless a specific group, right, Judea, Samaria, but even to the region as a whole, right, so that many more may be blessed. Right. So that is God's purpose. We should not be boxing ourselves up to say that God's purpose is just like that. His purpose was big. That's the reason why CCS 3 years ago decided to move. We said we cannot just stay at public mansion and just be contented with what we are doing. We have to move, because if you want to move the Great Commission to everybody's life, we have to spread our wings, like the book Isaiah, spread your tents, enlarge your tents. We have to do that, all right? So the challenge today, which in churches today, all right, is whether you are be a goer or a sender. The church sends, but you are be a goer or a sender. Many encounters I have with Christians, many people are be sender. The sender role is a bit easier. I give you resource support, I give you money and everything. Right, the last 1 week when I was engaging Chad and the SOTA students, right, most of them are non-Christians, but when I look at their lives, when I look at what they are doing, actually quite marvelous how God used those who were ready to do work in His kingdom, right? And the doers are the ones who just go there, right? God will provide the resource. God will provide the power. God will provide the protection. Of course, what I'm saying here is that we cannot therefore say that then we don't need senders. We do need senders. But the senders are who? The senders is the church. The church is the conduit where we move people out, we move the resource out under that common umbrella. Right? And I think that's where the challenge today for us is, we might want to rethink. Right. I must say that the last trip, we only had 3 people. I tell you, if we did not have the Malaysian lady who came to help, I tell you, Carol, myself, and Isa would be flat. Serious. But I think what kept us moving was that God is there. God was using every resource that we had on the ground to mobilize for His work. And you can see, since 2015, when CCS first stepped into Bang Village, Phnom Penh, into Siem Reap, God has done a marvelous work among us. Right? He has mobilized every resource that is possible so that that building called Happy Heart can come up, like what Chad was sharing last week. Now, what is the reputation of Happy Heart? If you go back to Genesis, building altars for the Lord, Happy Heart is an altar for the Lord. An altar where God's people can come and get engaged, a channel of communication that they can get engaged with the Almighty God. But someone must help them to build that altar, just like today, we are all, in a way, inverted commas, walking altars, right? Because the scripture says that we are temple of God, we are living stones, right? So we are like walking altars in a figurative sense, not in the physical sense. So as missionary, I think the guiding principle that we can look at, right, is where God guides, He provides. And I think this is very real. Where God guides, He provides. We had many instances in the past where we were in the fields, whether is it in Bangladesh or in Phnom Penh or in Siem Reap, where we encounter problems. Right? Our first trip to Phnom Penh, actually we almost end up in the police station. We also worried because the police stopped the whole work and said that we were illegal immigrants into the village. So it was a serious matter. But God, through His own marvelous channel, brought a Christian doctor, Dr. Castro, from one of the Faith Baptist Hospital, who happened to know Hui Yang and who was actually in good relation with the chief of police in Bang Village. And that rescues us out. If not, instead of going to Bang Village, we will spend 7 days in lockup. My wife, myself. You know. Of course, people will say, we all too smart. Why you go? But that is the cost of the ministry, the risk that we take. Because sometimes in ignorance, we do not know. So we walk into it. But I think where God guides, He provides. He provides the channel where we can come out. He provides a channel where His work is not being disrupted. And in fact, for that part of that mission, we not only were able to reach out to about 1,000+ people, we had one unbeliever, who every morning when we were there, would throw shit, a bucket of shit on the rooftop of the church to make the whole place stink and smell. Right? That was what we were encountering. But she was, in a way, had some illnesses. And after Dr. Muth, I think you all know Dr. Muth, that US doctor came and treated her. And after that, she was healed. She became the strongest Christian of the village, going around preaching, telling the word of God, fetching the unbelievers, just like what the man in Mark 5 did. Right? So-called insane lady who hate Christianity so much, but who was transformed by God. And that's how I see how God provides and how God guides. Right? Things that were against, people who were against His mission, He will provide a path to stop. And God's work must be done God's way. I think this is a very clear cut. How do you do in God's way? I think we pray. In fact, we pray a lot. Even Isa will be able to share later. We pray a lot. Because when we go to the fields, while we plan in Singapore, the verse of the plan of man are just plan, but God dictates, become a reality. Because whatever you plan, when you go there, it doesn't work because of the changing dynamics of the ground. So missionaries need to be very adaptable, flexible, right? And I think that's where God gives us talent, each of our talents, to help us complement one another, right? So that we can do things in His way, right? The last trip was the rainbow, the clown, right? While the clown get too much funny in the way she does things, we stop it. We say, no, please go back to the original purpose of sharing the word. Right? So the clown will adjust. Because sometimes as human beings, we tend to be very carried away with our passion. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being carried with passions. Nothing wrong. But just that we have to be very clear why we are doing certain things. Alright? In my workplace, I always tell my people, why are you an NEA officer? Your job is not to catch mosquitoes. It's not to find people for smoking. Why are you an NEA officer? Just like, I don't know. Patrick, why are you a manager of Shangri-La, for example? Why? It is not about the function of the job. It's about you as a person, your aspiration of what you want to do, in this case for your company, in NEA case for Singapore. Right? So we didn't want to catch people, My officers go and catch people smoking, get bashed up. right? Catch mosquito also get bash up, get thrown with dirty water, you know, and everything. You know, they go to the HDB flats, then they meet up with mentally unstable elders who will take broomstick and chase them out of the corridor. You see? So attrition rate in my enforcement very high. People say, why I wear uniform, come here to be every morning to be beaten up, to be you know, meaningless job, right? Right, but that is when you are clear in your purpose, all right? And then the Holy Spirit, the rest of it, while we do our things, I think we don't play God. Leave it to God to do the conviction. And I think that's where, in this verse, when he comes, he will prove the world, no, to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That's taken from John 16:18. Right. So these are just three guiding principles. Of course, there are many, if you are turned to the Bible, many. But I think from the layman point, for us simple people, we just have three simple points. All right. To guide us. And I think this has been the overarching guidance even in the way we do mission out there in Siem Reap, in Phnom Penh, in Bangladesh. No, I always tell Susan, don't worry, God will provide. No, I tell you, I was quite afraid when she brought us through to the sewing slum area. You know, she was the only lady into the enclave that is very unfriendly towards us, all right? And she brought two guys. You know, right, in that religious faith, if a woman is found with men, actually it's big trouble. So we were quite fearful for the moment, because when we walk through that tiny lane, which is just the distance between Patrick and Wing Sing Chair, just this width of pathway, all the eyes were standing at the door looking at us. Firstly, of course, we're different color. They have not seen a white man like this. No. No. Then they saw a brown man, Hu Yang, no, who used to wear sunglasses and cap. I told him, can you don't be too outstanding? wear slipper, wear t-shirt, sunglasses and cap. You can never find this in that kind of region. So it's something culturally very different. Right? So this was some of the challenges. But again, we pray and pray. Right? So I believe when Chia En and Chia Le, they all went, I don't know whether they had attracted any attraction there or not. But certainly, yes, two young men, tall and handsome, coming from the east to Central Asia, don't know who they are, cannot be magized. So I think one critical consideration in mission work, right, is God actually is the one that caused the growth. As we pray, as we leave it to the Holy Spirit to convict, God is the one that will cause the growth. And this is what is being mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3, 5-7. After all, it's Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, they are only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Right? After all, you know, it's Wing Sing, after all, and what is Edward? Only servants through whom you came to see. You just put your name there. And that is the reality of Scripture. Alright? I planted the seed, you know. Wing Sing watered it, but God made the growth. Right? So neither he who plant nor he who waters is anything, but only God make things grow. And that's the reason why when we move into Happy Heart, this is the guiding verse. We went there to plant the seed. The last time when we went there with the East Asia School of Theology students, we faced the same problem. They were all very hesitant. But that was a verse that I told them. You are here just to be a farmer. You plant the rice. Right? The rice is the children. Never mind, you do what you can. Someone will come and water it. Right? So we came back the second week, we watered it. they thought the fruit of that theme for that session was the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we sang the song, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to grow, I want to know, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and the nine fruits of the Spirit, all right? And from that 2 weeks when we left, the children actually memorized that song that we had Nanyang, we have IT students who came to visit them, and they were singing that song to the IT and Nanyang students. And Chad was telling me, so much so that one of the Nanyang IT students said, can I come back next year? So I think the way God works is very mysterious. We can never comprehend it, but how God touches the heart is something that we can only fathom. Maybe one day when we go to the throne of grace, you know, we ask God. But that's the way the Spirit is moving, you know, across the land. So, for reality check and reflection, I just have a couple of pointers here, right? Maybe this can be a checkpoint for all of us, right? We are all in a way missionary in disguise, as doctors, teachers, and everything. Even God Himself is a missionary. He came down to earth, right, in human form, as man, you know, and from what is needed for the mission of redemption. Right? So all of us are actually missionary where you are, right? Abraham's life is a model for us if you don't know which model to follow. So you find that right from Genesis, God has provided us a model of mission. Do we want to follow? I think this is one good thing that we can learn from. Yeah? The model, so that each of us can have our own story. One day, you'll be asked to share your life. How do you evangelize? You must have that story, you know. It's not about the four spiritual law. It's not about this. I think in today's context, in the engagement of people, especially, it is all about stories. It's all about your life stories. Even in the corporate circles, in training today, it's all about stories. It's all about how Singapore was successful the last 50 years. Can we be successful in the next 50 years? You know, it's all about how this church has grown in the last 15 years. Now, how do we take forward from here? So sometimes it's good for us to have our own story. So that sometimes if your colleagues, your friend asks you, it's better to share a story than to share the four spiritual law. Right? I was taught in the four spiritual law. When in my younger days, I was in the Navigators, I was taught. Yes, in the 1980s, this is effective because people are simple. But in today's environment, people are rather complex, right? Because if they don't know about Jesus, they can just go to the website and search. In fact, some of them know more things, you know, than that, and they start arguing you. Right? So the issue here is not about, you know, it's about stories, how God has transformed our lives, right? And just as Abraham, you know, was blessed to be a blessing, so we are given gifts and responsibilities, right? In order that we may share with others, including the saving knowledge of Christ, right? So I think as a church, we are all, in a way, one part of that building block that God is building in CCS. And each of us has a special role. Whether you are a researcher, can you be in the mission field? The answer is yes. All right. So if Jenny said that, Ban, how can I go to the mission field and contribute my research in? I say very simple. We will start at a farm behind, paddy farm, and let you teach them growth. How the paddy seeds grow, and how you teach them to control the environment, and how this whole story is about how 1 Corinthians 5:7 comes into play. It's how do you embed that whole context, you know, of Scripture into a very simple, experiential, layman understanding. All right. So if you want to go, Can. You know, when we were there, I saw we were testify this. Chet told me, Ban, you're going to have one very old adult in your this children group. So I said, how old is her? He says, 55. Oh, okay. Then he tell me, but this lady a bit mentally incapable lah. So I said, it's okay. Right? So every time when we sing songs, she will come in at the door, sit at the corner, and clap hand and everything. Then we were thinking, maybe we give her a more effective role. So I asked her, do you want to help us prepare food? And I tell her, she done a marvelous job in our refreshment. Every day at 10:30, at 3:30, she'll be out at the table. She will take all the plates and distribute all the food. And after eating, she'll go to the wash point and wash all the plates. That was her role. And she did it faithfully until the end of our trip. So I told Jack, she deserves a love gift. Right? But just say, maybe she don't know how to use the money. Say, never mind. Ma. But that's the way God taught us, no? That even the person whom we think is mentally incapable, in God's sight, is possible. Just like the madman that Jesus touched and changed. It is possible. So these are some of the insights that we gain from the mission trip. Do we grow? I think we grow. Each time when we go for mission trip, but individually in ourselves, we grow spiritually. Because we learn to depend, we learn to pray, we learn to accept and be more observant about the things around us, all right, and see how the moving of spirit is being done. So perhaps as Christians, we need to have this sensing of the Lord's calling in our life, right? And my challenge is, don't worry about the cost. Right, because that's where God's sending the resource to the church, and that's where the church will help to send out doers, or we call laborers in the fields. All right, Matthew, the East Asia theological student, when he first met us here in CCS, he says, "Ban, I can only sing and play games." I said, "Never mind, you can just do that well." And I tell you, you know, right? Carol got back problem, I got heart problem. All right, Dr. Yi and the rest, and Roger, we are all above 55. He was the only 27-year-old young man there who was able to jump with the kids. Because the kid loves to jump. But the songs that we played were the hi-fi kind of song, you know, a lot of movement, a lot of, you know. At first we thought we could lah, but after the first round, we all panting. Then I feel my heart jumping as well, so I told Carol, I think I better stop. But that is what we need, you see. We need young people to engage, and that is what I saw with the SOTA students the last 1 week. They brought them to night fishing in Labrador Park. They asked me, Uncle Ban, you want to go? I said, cannot. But that's where they went, you see. And the experience that the children get from Cambodia is really, really good for them. Because when they go back to Happy Heart, when we challenge them, hey, you can make things better because you have seen what was possible, then you revive a new vision, a new aspiration in them. And that's what building, equipping is all about. It's about instilling inspiration. It's about influencing. You know, what people can do is about telling them that, hey, you can still do much more for the Lord if you want to. And I think that's what we are called to do, right? The commission of teaching in a very broad sense, all right, in training. Teaching in training is not about I teach, you learn, didactic. No. Teaching means the transfer of knowledge and skills and experience. That is the real definition, you know, of teaching. And that's the reason why in schools today, children are changing into different pedagogy, right? Your primary one, the primary six students, in the next 5 years, don't expect textbook learning. Because the whole curriculum has changed. Sec 1 to Sec 4, the whole curriculum, it will be project-based learning. You go and do a project. That is how the whole landscape is changing. So when we look from the Great Commission point of view, when we are supposed to teach the Word of God, you must teach the Word of God that is relevant to the time, relevant to the context, and relevant to the operating environment of the person that is living in. Right? So in Cambodia, we teach them because that is the operating environment. Very simple. They learn the ABC of things. So we teach them that way. In Singapore, you teach them differently. You teach them through storytelling, you teach them through experiential sharing. You engage them so that they can get a touch from the Lord. You know? But if you just tell them, this is what's going to, I tell people are going to switch off. Right? So these are some of the things that we need to do some reflection about ourselves and what we can do. Right? So in CCS today, our mission framework is still taken from 28, 1920, right? And Acts 1:8. And that's why our mission statement is to know Him and make Him known. Put in a very simple statement that everybody can understand. And our purpose of this framework is that the church, you know, can, in practical working of such missionary, you know, facilitate evangelization of the gospel. As a church, we facilitate. We create the platform, we create the channels, you know, the avenues, we pave the road, you know, so that members of this church can go in and live out Matthew 28:19 to the best of your abilities that you can. Right? So that is in CCS today. So hopefully you all have a better understanding also. Why always like that, we are doing like that? But I think, like Francis also did some local ones, right? It's important to take care of your immediate, yeah, your Judea and your Samaria. It's important, right? But it's also important to the ends of the earth, which is where we are going into the 1040 window. Right? So it's both are important. So at CCS, our desire, who we are, is that, again, taken from scripture, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. We go to Happy Heart because we want to help them realize this, that, you know, they will have Jesus, and Jesus will be their God, will walk among them, and will be there, and they will be God's people. Right? And you also, at the individual level, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And that's the reason why we built Happy Heart. It will be a place where every Sunday they come back, and then this house, this spiritual powerhouse, can continue to spread the word of God. So that is the physical, and that is the spiritual part in our engagement and mission. There's always two things, right? So like what sometimes we say, CCS, public mention. What is the purpose of public mention? It's not for us just to come every Sunday. Yes, it is a common point for us to come together, right? To stay focused and to be charged, recharged, and move out again. You need to be a central focal point. Right. So the two prayer action steps for consideration this morning will be, as we build our heart altar, each of us, taken from the first verse, we are all, you know, building every day our heart altar to the Lord. Right? We are also helping others to seek Him so that they too could be like living stones to be the temple of the living God. These two steps is in reference to these two verses. Okay. So if you see the connection, yes, it's a logical thing why you are doing certain things. Yes, right? So with that, I want to invite Isa. Isa has been an encouragement to all of us, right? She forgo her leave here and there as best to help us, right? And she is our jumping jack. until I think she fell the last trip. So her backside hit the floor. I was so worried. Oops. No. Right. So Isa, is this okay?
Good morning. So I'll be sharing you what my reflections from the past 2 years that I've been with the Cambodia mission. Forgive me if I'm a bit nervous. So we as believers are called to be witnesses and stewards to people in this world, as our church mission states, to know Him and to make Him known. This made me reflect on my experiences being one of the members who have joined the mission in Cambodia for 2 consecutive years. Last 2016 was my first experience to do mission overseas. Actually, I've been doing also outreach program from our church back in the Philippines when I was a teenager. So I started quite young, being exposed to teaching, especially Bible stories in poor rural areas in the city. However, being in a different country and speaking in a different language was a totally different and meaningful experience for me. We encountered a lot of challenges and setbacks, but God worked everything out for the good, and we were able to overcome them and set our purpose that He intended for us to do. We were able to teach children about Jesus from the Bible and the English language in a more interactive and meaningful way, rather than the traditional way of teaching. I also have experience doing unusual things that I didn't expect I would do, such as, like, with Uncle Francis, we exposed to, like, exotic food that we ate, like crickets and worms. This year, we had 9-day mission trip in Siem Reap, longer than the previous year. It was a touching moment on the first day we reached the village, because the children were able to remember us, even called us by our name. So coming back this year was like really touching, because they do remember us from the last year. And I got to spend more time knowing them and interacting with them. We did the same thing like last year, but more on teaching in the English language. For there was another member of our team who was in charge of doing the Bible stories. They were able to remember the songs we have taught them before, and they have learned new songs. On our last night in the village, we ended the whole session in Happy Heart. I spent time with the young people, and we had campfire and roasted some marshmallows and made some s'mores. We played games and sang songs. And the night before, like, sleeping and doing our free time, I taught them how to do the salvation bracelets, which they can use to share the gospels to their friends. And the touching thing is that I didn't expect them to share their own testimony. I was supposed to, like, share my testimony and then teach them how to share the salvation bracelet. But the touching thing is that most of them were able to share their testimonies and how, after what happened to them, after they have accepted Christ in their lives, which is very surprising, because for that young age, like, who's the youngest? 9 years old, the one also who came here. So she shared also, like, in a simple kind of story that for her age, she was, like, brave enough to share it to her friends. Despite that time having some health issues, through God's sustaining grace and faithfulness, we were able to finish strong. I came to Siem Reap with the intention of sharing the love of Jesus, but I didn't expect the overwhelming joy that I would receive in serving for His glory. The fellowship I had with the people, especially the children, have blessed me more than they could ever imagine. I pray for those who are called in the mission field and for all believers to step out of their comfort zones and be witnesses to Jesus. Let us be doers of the word, not hearers only. Know him and make him known. Thank you.
I must say that Aisla almost lost her voice after the 7th day of the mission. And we were in the transfix because Carol also was not well, right? She was immobile for a while, and I was the only one left. And I was thinking how to solve this problem, pray and pray. So Chad said, he will try to source the best honey in Siem Reap, original from the farm, never processed, and give it to her. It was just a little bit of honey in it, but that worked that miracle out for us. God used those channels to help us. So I think it's all these small little things that you see how the way as a team, how you support one another. You know, we try to have, okay, this one we swap, you rest, I do, you know. And I think it's through all this that the love of Christ is being shown and the bond of love is being strengthened. Right? So if you talk about we are one in the bond of love, this is what it means. It means going through it and then having that bond of love strengthened. Right? I thought maybe this is just another forward call to everybody, right? That maybe as we are committed every year to go up Siem Reap, next year will still be around the same time, first 2 weeks of September, right? I would like to challenge everyone to seriously consider, right? Age is no limit to God's work. It's all really about being obedient. It's all really about staying committed and saying that, hey, I think I can do something about it. And go through the experience yourself. Right? Then you'll find the wonders of how God works. Alright? I think the more we have, the more things, the burden will be lighter. If the bigger the team, the burden will be lighter. If not, the stress will be on a few people. Alright? I think, on this note, I really like to maybe ask you all, 1.5 years from now, you plan. See, now is October. I mean, 1 year from now, you plan your next year leave, right? You need not have to say through the whole trip, we want to do a 5-day DBVS, but you end up 9 days, right? Because of the timing of the flights and everything. Right? But we are also very gracious people, lah. You will definitely be given 1 or 2 day R&R. Just like all military training. They have R&R. We also give R&R, right, Chan? go Taiwan, not say everyday training. The soldiers need some motivation and some what we call rejuvenation, you know, of the strength. Right. So we as soldiers of the Army of Salvation, I think as we go out to the fields, to the battlefield, I think we need to raise troops. to go in every year, right? So do let me know, all right? Those of you who can make it, I'm giving you early notice, first to second week of September, means usually it's first to 10th of September, all right? Or first week of October, but we are trying to get first to 10th of September because of the international students' holiday, all right? So that we can have more English-speaking children around, and that will help a lot. Okay, with that, thank you. I hand this time back to Nat. All right.